How I Met Your Mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
How are you, Natalie?
Do you really want to know?
I really do know. It's not the best time in our lives for a lot of reasons.
Things are chaotic a little bit, but, you know.
We should start by, not to start on such a downer note, but I want to mention that Tyler Smith, my co-host on my other podcast, Battleship Pretension, is in the hospital with a long-term, pretty serious and very sudden and unexpected illness.
Yeah.
If you want to know more about what's going on, and more importantly, if you want to help in any way, you can find out more at caringbridge.org/visit/Tyler and Jennifer Smith. So you can find out more there, and there's also a link there to the GoFundMe for the quickly mounting medical bills that this is causing to pile up for Tyler and Jennifer and their family. So
we love the Smith family.
Yes.
And we're thinking about them every day.
Yeah. So please do. Yeah. If you care to check out caringbridge.org/visit/Tyler and Jennifer Smith.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes, that's what we're doing. That's how we're doing.
Yeah.
And there's other stuff going on. It's just like a very crazy time. But I guess we're here to take our minds off it for a little bit by talking about Friends and How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
Every week we watch an episode of each show and compare, discuss, you know, contrast, all that sort of thing. Today, we are on Season 3, Episode 19 of both shows. The penultimate episode of How I Met Your Mother, Season 3, by the way. Season 3, Episode 19 of Friends is called The One with the Tiny T-Shirt. Season 3, Episode 19 of How I Met Your Mother is called Everything Must Go. But we're going to put a pin in Everything Must Go, and we're going to start off by talking about Season 3, Episode 19 of Friends, The One with the Tiny T-Shirt. So we get... we're on a roll with these perk opening. We open at the perk.
Yeah.
Rachel's sitting at the counter, which they don't normally do.
And
Gunther is sort of like we hear Gunther's inner monologue.
Yeah,
you know, practicing,
asking her out.
Asking her out. And it doesn't sound like he's got it down yet. He says, "Do you want to get lunch as my lover?
As a lover?
Yeah. this is the. Only the second time I think when we've heard inner monologues. The other time being when Chandler tossed Janice out of the bed, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
It's such a Seinfeld thing that, like, you know, I'm used to, like, hearing Seinfeld inner monologues.
Yeah.
But, Gunther, that's the cold open. It's just a little tag there. Or not a tag. We get a tag at the end. Just a little gag, I guess, is what I'm saying. When the episode starts proper, Jon Favreau as Pete and Monica are coming back from a date. Seems to be some nice banter or whatever. Monica gets home. Everyone's at her apartment, of course, and reveals that she's just not that into him.
Mm-hmm.
Reveals to her friend. She hasn't brought herself to tell Pete.
Yeah.
Because she feels like this guy's like funny and nice and he's into me. And oh, yeah, he's like super rich. Like,
yeah.
She's like, what's wrong with me? But she just like. Isn't feeling it.
Yeah.
But you know who is feeling something is Joey, who like dances in and dances out, and it turns out he got a big new part.
Yeah.
In a play. And so we go from there to the first day of rehearsals, and his co-star is played by Dina Meyer, an actress that I recognized immediately from Starship Troopers because I watched Starship Troopers so many times.
I don't know what I know her from.
Well, is it not Starship Troopers?
It's not.
Well, I can tell you what you would have seen her in most recently.
What's that?
A show that you and I, when I say a show that you and I watched together during the pandemic that I loved and remember very well and that you have banished most memories of. What show do you think I'm talking about?
The one with the puppets?
No. I'm talking about Showtime's The Affair.
Oh, God.
One of my favorite shows.
She was in The Affair.
So she was only in a couple episodes in the fourth season. Do you remember when you don't? You have, like, I remember this show so well, you don't remember. But, well, now I've forgotten Ruth Wilson's character's name. Allison.
Allison. Allison.
Do you remember Allison has disappeared in season four? And we, like, thought that her dad was dead, but it turns out her dad, is played by John Matheson, is alive. And Noah and what's Joshua Jackson's character's name? Pete? I can't remember what his name is.
Cody?
Yeah. Rain?
Huck?
Yeah, something like that. They go to visit him to see if he knows where she is, and his new wife is played by Dina Meyer. So that's the most recent thing I think you would have seen her in. But I, of course, know her pretty much solely from Starship Troopers.
Cole.
Yeah. All right, so, yeah, Dina Meyer is the co-host, and she doesn't think much of Joey because he's a soap and infomercial actor, and she's a serious stage actor.
The
right?
Co-host? Co-star.
Co-star.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're co-hosts. Yeah. I was looking at my co-host.
Yeah.
So it was a Freudian slip.
Yeah.
Rachel is confiding to... We're back at the perk, and Rachel confides to Phoebe that, like, she doesn't want to date anyone. Mark asked her out. I missed that. Mark asked her out, but she's like, I don't want to date anyone. It still feels like I'm cheating on Ross somehow.
Yeah.
So, you know, Phoebe's like, you're not over him.
Wow, the whole facade, though, of Mark, like, oh, he's just my coworker, he's my friend. Like, it's a little...
But that was true for her.
That was true for her, yeah.
But he was playing the long game.
Yeah.
Ross was right the entire time.
Yeah.
I mean, his behavior was not right.
No.
But he was correct about Mark. So, wait, where was I? Okay, so then Joey comes home, and he's complaining that everyone at... his new job, his new gig, is, like, making fun of him because he started an infomercial about, like... Not being able to open a milk carton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're all giving him liquids to open.
Yeah, and then he's, like... And then he says, when I can't do it, they make fun of me, which is funny that he actually has trouble opening milk cartons and stuff. But then Ross shows up, and he's like, Rachel asked me to stop by. I think she's gonna, you know, beg for me to come back or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ross just never seems to read the situation quite right.
No.
But it turns out Rachel just wanted to give him back a box of his stuff. Including, I thought this was kind of harsh, like something that he gave her as a gift.
Yeah.
Even though it was like a free thing, like it wasn't like a thoughtful gift, but it was still something he gave her.
Yeah, he picked it out and gave it to her.
I still think it was kind of mean of her to put that in there.
Yeah.
But then Ross, being a baby about it, if you can imagine, starts saying, well, this isn't all my stuff. I want more stuff. And, like, he wants the T-shirt that Rachel sleeps in, which is a T-shirt from when he was a teenager. It's a Frankie Says Relax T-shirt.
Yeah.
And so she gives it to him, and he, like, wears it out. That's the tiny T-shirt.
Yeah. So he pretends like he wants it, and she's like, oh, it won't even fit you. And then we see that Schwimmer's got bod.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
when he puts on that... tiny tee. Yeah,
proper fit.
Yeah.
And then I love this. Like on sitcoms when they go on little field trips.
Mm-hmm.
I like when there's a new friend or significant other who gets to be like part of the gang a little bit.
Yeah,
like remember that. Like not that we either of us really liked Victoria, but when Victoria was like hanging around with Ted, you know, and she was just like at the apartment hanging around with the friends. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So we got Pete is just like at the perk, but of course these other dudes don't have any chill,
right?
Which makes me realize that like Richard was right to not like
stick around
to distance. He tried to be their friend and they're complete dorks. They can't stop talking about how much money he has. There's some kind of funny stuff in there, but yeah, but Monica, like, he leaves and Monica, like, won't kiss him goodbye. And it kind of made me realize that, like, Monica and Rachel are in different ways, both having, like, issues with committing to dating.
Yeah.
You know, they're both going through similar things there. Back at the rehearsal now, Dina is just outwardly complaining to the director about Joey.
Kate. Her name.
Yes, you're right.
Her name is Kate.
I wrote Dina entirely in my notes.
Yeah.
Because I knew her name and I forgot. Yes. Kate, the actress, is complaining to the director about Joey, and she doesn't understand why her character is into him in the first place. And there's some funny stuff there, you know, because it says it in the script. That's funny that Joey says. But then he says, like, a mean thing, too.
Yeah, he says a mean thing.
Calls it a B word, but, yeah. Like, in a roundabout way. But still, that's what he did.
Yeah.
Oh, man, there is something stuck to my phone screen that is driving me crazy. Okay. Oh, no. There's a little piece of tortilla chip. It wouldn't come off. Like a tiny, tiny little sliver.
Yeah.
You know, the chips, they shatter.
Yeah.
That's way off topic. But there's every time I drive from our home from the Trader Joe's we go to here, I pass a Popeyes. And it has a sign in the window that says, like, love that shatter crunch. Like the fried skin on the chicken, like, is so crispy that it shatters when you bite into it.
Is that true?
It probably is true, but it's also like, it doesn't seem like an appetizing word.
No.
It's like when I see burgers described as beefy. It's like, ugh. It's like, I get what you're going for, but like, that's not enticing me to, like, I know the burgers are beef. Beefy doesn't seem like a,
I guess if you want like something crispy.
But shatter? I feel like it makes me think of like, chewing on glass.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like people who want to eat that just want to, like, destroy things.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
How did we get onto shatter?
You had a tortilla on your phone.
I didn't love that shatter crunch. It was a tortilla. Yeah. Tiny little piece of tortilla on my phone. Okay, so... go ahead.
Nothing.
Please.
No, it was just a sidetrack.
That's what I love.
Okay, so, like, the whole fast food ad slogan where it's, like, crush, like, I think it appeals to, like, a masculine, like, destructive side. Like,
well, that's Carl's Jr.'s thing especially,
yeah.
Right? And Hardee's.
Yeah.
They definitely, like, go for that demographic.
Food that's, like, makes you feel aggressive when you eat it. It's, like, you're... masculine when you eat something.
Mm-hmm.
It's always around meat.
Yeah. 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 I was listening to a podcast once. I can't remember what podcast it was, but there was like a woman on the show, and she was talking about how she loves burgers, but she has more than once just like decided not to order a burger because it was called something like the Widowmaker or like something like this burger's for men.
Yeah.
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 Anyway.
Yeah, burgers are for everyone is what I say.
Or no one at all. We shouldn't eat meat.
Probably not.
Anyway, moving on.
Chandler and Ross are coming home from a spirited game of tennis, I guess, and they spy Rachel and Mark headed out on a date. And so Ross goes inside Chandler's apartment and just apparently spends just 3 hours looking through the people.
Yeah.
Waiting for Rachel to come home, and then Rachel comes home and goes inside, and Mark goes inside with her, and Ross is freaking out. And Chandler has to, like...
tackle him.
Keep, yeah, yeah.
There's jump on his back. There's a friend tackling on this show.
What else?
There's, like, so many instances of a friend, like, tackling another friend to keep them from getting to the phone or checking the answering machine.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, he's grabbing on him and finally stops him from leaving. Meanwhile, we're in the apartment. Mark tries to kiss Rachel, and Rachel is has to come clean, like... I'm not into this, so it's just doing this to make Ross jealous, which Mark takes in stride and, like, makes jokes about or whatever. Yeah. But then Mark fucks off or whatever. Hopefully we never see him again.
Yeah.
And then Monica accompanies Pete to a fancy hospital fundraiser. Which is weird. Do they have these kind of parties at the hospital? Like, doesn't the hospital
need to... And they're opening, like, a new wing.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, in someone else's name.
You know what it made me think of?
Hello Again?
Hello Again. Yeah.
So I'm like, yes, they absolutely do this based on my...
based on the documentary Hello Again.
Yeah.
Where Dead Shelley totally accurate. Long comes back to life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
Hello
I use,
again. What a movie. What a strange movie.
But they actually do have events at like hospitals and clinics.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Joey, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say it was, I don't know if you're going to get to this, but when he does like the ribbon cutting on his way out, he does like the photo op and the ribbon.
Yeah. Ribbon cutting. Cause he's in the middle of being broken up with essentially.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, why not like him? Like,
yeah, but she doesn't, she can't make herself like him, Joey is, still complaining about how Kate, I wrote Dina, but how Kate is treating him. And Chandler sees through what's really going on, which is that Joey has a little bit of a thing for Kate.
Mm-hmm.
So at the next rehearsal, when they're supposed to kiss in the play, Joey really lays one on her.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
she's knocks into
her,
it.
Yeah. Takes her back.
It's not a Halle Berry,
Adrian Brody type of situation. No, she's into it. Yeah.
It's not a Halle Belly.
Halle Belly. Inside joke. But it turns out Kate is dating the director.
Yeah.
Joey's crestfallen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then at the end of the episode, we're back at the apartment where everyone hangs out, and Phoebe's talking about Spider-Man and pronouncing it Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And Chandler's like, there's a difference between someone's last name and they, you know, there's a, someone's name is Goldman doesn't mean they're a gold man. And but then the final button on the episode before the tag, at least, is that Ross has brought a box of Rachel's stuff to get back to her, and it includes the t-shirt. He's given her back the t-shirt.
It's just
nice.
A t-shirt in a box. And it's like symbolic of, okay.
We didn't see inside the box. I assumed there was more stuff.
Well, no. She's like, oh, there's just just a
t-shirt. Oh, there's just a t-shirt. Oh, I didn't
think.
I didn't realize that. I assumed it was just like on top.
That was the impression that I got.
But the tag at the end, we get Chandler and Phoebe fleshing out this gold man superhero idea who can turn things into gold. And then Phoebe agrees to play Chandler's game, which is like quick draw on the recliner to see who can like recline their feet fastest.
Yeah.
And then credits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other spray observations? Stray observations before we move on to funniest moments?
No.
My first funniest moment, I only have two. My first funniest moment was when Kate is first making fun of the infomercial that he was in, and he was saying, like, you know, I'm acting. I know how to open a carton of milk. Like, it's just acting. And then she says, and at the end, you choked on a cookie. And he goes, yeah, that was real.
I don't know if this was like as funny as just a little bit funny. When Ross and Rachel are arguing, they always like make jokes within the argument that, or maybe it's a funny delivery an argument. But when we already talked about the mug, the dinosaur mug.
Yeah.
And Ross is like, but that was a gift, and she's like, it was just a free thing from the gift shop. And he was like, it's a gift from a gift shop.
Yeah. The only other thing that really made me laugh was at the beginning, after Gunther's practicing his approach with Rachel, and then he chickens out, and then Mark asks her out instead, and he goes in the back, and then we just hear a bunch of, like, crashing.
Yeah.
And smashing.
Yeah, and then he said, I broke a mug.
Oh, yeah, I broke a mug, yeah.
I wrote down... Oh, when Joey comes home complaining about Kate and how much she's like annoying him.
Dina? Okay.
Frustrating him.
I should be calling her Dizzy. That's her character's name on Starship Troopers.
Okay. And Chandler says, someone's got a crush. And Joey says, can we focus on me?
Yeah.
Do you have more?
No.
Oh, I also have, they are at the Perk talking to Pete, they're, naming states after him, and there's some funniness that comes. We'll get to that later, maybe.
Oh, we will. Okay.
Maybe.
Before we move on, I didn't ask, have you seen Starship Troopers?
No.
Oh.
I've seen...
It's a really good movie.
I've seen bits of it, but not in its entirety from start to finish.
Well, you know, you and I have talked about doing an idea, like when we get to the end of of the show. What is this show? Do we hang up our spurs or do we continue the show? And one of the ideas was that, one of my ideas, I don't know if you were into it, that over time we watch every movie that all 11 cast members of the two main casts are in. We would watch Starship Troopers in that case because Neil Patrick Harris is in.
Right. Okay. That is such a daunting task.
Well, we wouldn't have to do it all at once. It would last forever.
Right. You want to do this forever?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Do I want to keep joking and laughing with my wife? Yeah. It's super fun.
But for,
I don't even care if anyone's listening. Yeah. This is like so much fun.
Yeah. I'm still under the impression that no one's listening right now. So it's fine. We'll do this anyway.
Well, that's not true. We have a segment where people
respond
to us. Although I don't know if, because of like Toronto on an anniversary and stuff, like we're recording way in advance. So I don't know if we have any correspondence this week because the last episode hasn't posted yet.
Yeah.
I'm literally posting it tonight after we finish this. Okay, so we should move on to Friends, but make it fashion?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to start before you are able to comment on it.
No.
Gunther's vest in the opening scene.
Yeah, the spade.
Giant. Well, first off, I want to start with his tie, which looks like a chessboard, black and red.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he's wearing, I can't remember what his shirt is, but his vest, bright red, with, a big black spade, not a gardening tool, but like the suit of cards. And then the back, the like silk lining on the back of the vest is like black and white stripes, mm-hmm. like an old timey, I don't know, prison uniform, except vertical, I guess.
Yeah.
It was crazy. It was a crazy look. Yeah. Did you like it?
It was notable.
Okay. What do you have?
I had that. I really liked Monica's turtleneck.
Burgundy turtleneck.
Burnt sienna.
You wrote burnt sienna?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong. Isn't burnt sienna a little more orangish? There's more orange
in
it?
It's more orangey brown. At first, I wrote brick turtleneck, but then I'm like, no, that's more burnt sienna.
Huh. It registered as more burgundy to me. Hmm. Or my favorite color to say, oxblood. It kind of looked like oxblood.
It wasn't oxblood.
No, but I like saying it. Yeah. It was more burgundy, I think. You say burnt sienna. I don't think it was that orangey.
Listeners.
Call to action. Yeah. Correspond with us.
Yeah.
What color in season 3, episode 19 of Friends, the one with the tiny t-shirt, when Monica wears a turtleneck that's like, what is it like? It's like a very soft... Is it like velour? What is the fabric?
It's not velour.
But she wears a velvety big turtleneck in this episode. Tell us what color it is. I say burgundy. Now this is burnt sienna.
Hmm.
You tell us.
I mean...
What is that?
Burnt sienna.
But all these say burnt sienna.
Yeah.
This is what I... That's what I picture. The listeners can't see at all. That's what I picture. This is like... Like... Grandma's den paneling is what that looks like. That's what I picture when I think of burnt sienna.
Well, I think of like the Crayola colors.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
All right, call to action. What color is Monica's turtleneck in season 3, episode 19? Is it my turn now?
Mm-hmm.
I just have one more the final scene. Rachel comes home from work this is a great episode for just startling red.
Yeah.
She comes home in a startling red blazer.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fetching.
I thought she had a cute date night dress when she went out with Mark.
Okay.
It was like a mini dress.
Yeah, it was
mini
very,
dress.
Yeah.
Small. It looked cute on her.
All right, but it wasn't like, it was small and short, but it wasn't like form-fitting like a lot of the stuff that Rachel sometimes wears. It was more like flowy a little bit. Yeah.
It was kind of like a, what is it called when it's just straight down? I knew the word for it.
Is that a shift? No.
No. But also, like, Ross is so typically... So I think I was so caught off guard by his bod because, like, he's so typically in, like, big, heavy sweaters and jackets.
Yeah.
So when he takes it off and puts on a tiny shirt...
Yeah.
It was really startling to me.
But I do think it's always been apparent to me that David Schwimmer, on the show at least, has... pecs and shoulders and upper arms. It always seems like...
I guess it just like seemed really more pronounced. That. And they're all like super hot actresses. Like they all have great bods no matter what. It was just a little shocking.
What's under the umbrella in this episode?
Gunther loves Rachel. There are a lot of words that we don't use anymore for good reason. Did you notice all of them?
Oh. Well, there, yeah, there was the one that R word. That Dina says. Sorry, Kate says the R word.
The R word, yeah. The B word.
Right.
Which
I say the phrase son of a bitch a lot.
Yeah. When we're talking about our dog, we can use it. Sometimes, like, when I want to shock you, I'll say it.
Yeah.
Because I normally say B word.
Or you just say B, usually.
Yeah.
But yeah, sometimes it does shock me.
I think it's Monica who says midget rodeo.
Oh, yeah, we don't say that. We don't say, yeah, I don't like that word.
No.
Yeah.
So just know that when I say it, it's to call out the dated dialogue. And it's we've talked about it before. It's a different time.
Yeah. Sure.
But yeah, we're still able to call attention to it.
Go ahead.
Under the umbrella.
Yeah.
We got a real dose of Chandler being a good friend.
To when Ross.
He tackles Ross and tells, like, tries to comfort him.
Good in friends his weird tackle each other.
Chandler way.
Yeah.
Of, like, soothing him, but still being, like, quippy and sarcastic. But, like, he's, you could tell he cares about his friend.
Yeah. Last thing under the umbrella for me, I liked that when Monica comes home from her date and everyone's there, she says, hello, people who do not live here. And just like acknowledging that it is weird sometimes that everyone is always at Monica and Rachel's apartment.
And she gives them the emergency key, and the emergency was they were out of Doritos.
Right, but like my question is, well, who was out of Doritos? Because you don't all live together.
Right. I think that's the joke, that they were all out of Doritos.
They were all out of Doritos.
So they call out the brand name. Okay, let's do a little props to the props department, because they called out the brand name Doritos. We didn't see a Doritos bag. However, when we were on the, we're at the rehearsal for the play, we see Lipton tea. So it's not quite Lipton tea.
Right.
And we see Sweet Low, not Sweet and Low, but we see like the letters cut out.
I like how you have to say it like you're, you know, when you're when in movies and TV shows, some people are like on the phone and they want to like pretend. They want to get off the phone. They're like, I'm going in a tunnel. So that's how they. Yeah.
You're breaking up.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Should we take a quick break?
Yeah.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
We're back from our quick break, and we are ready to talk about Season 3, Episode 19 of How I Met Your Mother. This one's called Everything Must Go. Now they take it away.
Oh, okay. So we start out with Ted talking about Uncle Barney, even though at this point they're still not cool with each other. So he's still telling the story about Uncle Barney and how we get a little reminder of Barney continually being slapped by women, and then the mystery woman who talks to Lily at McLaren's, like, he slept with me and then left me and never called. Don't trust him, he's bad. So Barney sees this person leave and then runs out and sees one woman who thinks it's her and it's not.
There's a funny bit that I don't know if it's in your funniest moments, but when he thinks he grabs it and he's like, sorry, did I sleep with you and then never call you back? She goes, no. And he starts running away and turns around, what are you doing Friday?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I didn't think that was that funny. But then he finds the woman from the back go into a cab, and it turns out to be Abby, Brit.
Or as he says, Amy?
Amy.
Yeah.
And then Ashley.
A running joke that he calls her by the wrong
Amber.
Name. Except the one time he accidentally calls her by the right name, which is even funnier.
Yeah. So they're in the cab, and she said, like, yeah, you slept with me and never called me again. And then he says, yeah, but you're in love with my best friend, Ted. And even she calls him out and says, like, Marshall's his best friend. And he said, no, we've been best friends for 7 years.
Yeah.
That's under the umbrella, but that's fine. Meanwhile, we go to Lily's kindergarten class, and a little girl is showing her pictures of her rainbow, yeah. And she eventually, like, she gets fed up and then screams at a child and...
Who won't paint anything but a rainbow.
Who won't paint anything but a rainbow. The next day, they're at the apartment and Marshall comes in and he's really distraught and they have money woes because they have to fix the floors.
Yeah.
The floors that are...
Slanted.
Slanted yeah. in their... the home that their is
stinky
in
apartment.
Stinky apartment. And they only need $1,500 to fix it. I'm thinking so like...
I think... Because I thought about that too. I think it's $1,500... Because Marshall's like... The guy says it's going to cost more than the estimate. So what I think is happening here is it's $1,500 over what they originally estimated.
What they already saved up
for. There's no way it's only $1,500 to like... replace the floors in a Manhattan apartment. There's no way.
Right.
So I think what it means is that they need an extra $1,500 on short notice.
Okay.
That was my takeaway.
So he said, okay, it's like finally coming down to it. We're going to have to sell your stuff. And that's Lily's clothes, like, designer clothes that she's been hoarding over the years. Cause she has a problem with buying too many things.
Yeah. As someone who likes the clothes that I own, I felt very sad for Lily.
Yeah.
But also, like, her debt put Marshall and, like, mm-hmm. and them in a bad place, and this is the source of her debt. Like, Marshall's idea isn't the worst idea.
No.
Right?
It's a very good idea, especially since the clothes are all tacky as fuck.
I wasn't going to say that, but yes.
Yeah.
They're not
cute. But, you know who disagrees is Robin, who thinks they're the height of fashion.
Well, they're a step up from what Robin usually wears, yeah. I'll say. I had to say whose wardrobe is better, it's Lily's.
Lily's is better,
yeah,
for sure, than Robin's. So they are packing up stuff, and then we get Ted talking about his red cowboy boots, and he thinks he's pulling them off. There's some funny moments with his boots.
Yeah, because he claims he doesn't have anything in his closet that he's never worn. But everyone says he can't pull off the red cowboy boots, so he spends the entire episode wearing them. And weirdly, like, I feel like he's wearing them with the jeans tucked into the boots, which I guess is, like, maybe right if you're actually out cowboying. But I feel like in day-to-day life, if I see people wearing cowboy boots, the jeans aren't tucked in.
Right.
They're, like, the jeans are over the boots. Maybe they're wearing bootcut jeans.
Yeah. None of these people know what they're doing with clothes or shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Marshall's the best dressed character on the show.
Me too.
I mean, like, I love
he's
that
the best
Barney likes.
As well.
Yeah. You and gay men on the same page, apparently. Yeah. I love that Barney likes nice clothes, but I think his taste is a little tacky.
Definitely tacky. So Lily realizes that she is a painter. I forget how that happens.
Well, she says, instead of selling my clothes, why don't I sell my paintings?
She like stumble across one of her old paintings when they're going through stuff or something? I just didn't remember how that popped up. I know that she's a painter. Just,
yeah,
she's always been a painter.
She just thinks of herself as a painter, so she said it.
And Marshall says something that she finds offensive and dismissive, like, you don't believe in me.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes to like a gallery opening to try to sell her work, and
someone I know once sold or has sold a couple of paintings at art shows.
I've been at a few gallery shows.
And you've sold...
I sold a few.
Two, right?
Yeah.
One, like, you could argue maybe doesn't count because the person who bought the painting was the owner of the subject of the painting, the hedgehog.
Yeah.
But then there was another one where it was just like
a string. He would, like, be an asshole if he didn't buy it.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, you painted our friend Patrick's hedgehog, and he came to the art show, and he bought the painting, and I love that.
Yeah.
Because Jonathan is no longer with us, the hedgehog. Yeah. Hopefully the painting is. But then another painting of a cat, not just any cat, of our cat.
Some random person just bought it.
Yeah, bought it because it was a great painting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fun. So yeah.
You're more a more accomplished artist than Lily.
Yeah, that's true.
But still an animal connection, as we'll find.
Yeah.
Between your paintings and Lily's.
That is true. So they start off at the gallery. No one buys it. There's a woman who's interested in her shirt, which just like triggers her more. Like, this is not for sale. And then they try to sell at a coffee house. She goes with Ted and Robin, and they try to like talk up her paintings, and he plays the part of like a pretentious douche, as Robin would say.
Which he is. Not a big stretch.
Yeah. But all Robin can say is like, it's a nice painting of a nice, like, she doesn't know how to talk about art, which is fine. Meanwhile, Barney and Abby are having sex, and they both hate Ted, they realize. Like, they're just talking, well, she hates him, but also is still in love with him. She wants to have sex with him. Barney is obviously obsessed with Ted as well, so they're both kind of, like, feeding into each other's love, hate, obsession. Okay, so then coffee house is unsuccessful, so she starts trying to sell on the streets, and then we meet
Matt Besser.
And he's
friend of Battleship Retention, Matt Besser.
Yes, he's a heroin addict selling tube stocks.
Yeah.
And he tells her her paintings suck.
Yeah.
And then some gay men. Wait, can you tell me about the Quacks?
G-Quacks? Gay couple without kids.
Okay.
Yeah.
For a while, we were...
Dildos?
Dildos. Dual income large dog owners.
Yeah. We never had a large dog.
Yeah.
I think both of our dogs have been medium. I don't know. Our last dog was medium, maybe on the larger side of medium. And our current dog is on the smaller side of medium, but they weigh the same. Because our current dog is a big old dense. Yeah. she's thick.
She's thick. She's 25 pounds, which is like, I think, medium.
Yeah.
She's not a small dog.
If you were to look at her, she seems small.
A little lady. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a pocket pit.
She's real cute. So then, the G-Quacks buy one of her paintings for $500. It turns out they only wanted it for the frame.
Mm-hmm.
Barney and Abby, in the meantime, so they decide to make Ted jealous with a proposal. So they come into McLaren's wearing the same, they dress as twins, they're wearing blue sweaters.
So I think Abby wants to make him jealous.
And then Barney wants to teach him a lesson.
To teach him how lame he is.
Yeah. To like say like, oh, look, I'm going to propose. See how pathetic it is. Like, that's you.
Yeah.
But I think it's an ill-conceived plan on so many levels.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he proposes to her. And even though she knows that it's fake, I guess she takes it seriously in the moment. She's not the brightest bulb. She's not. So she takes it seriously. She thinks the ring is real. Then she calls her mom. And she is Stressville Population 1 trying to plan a wedding. let's see what happens next. Robin is secretly buying the Lily clothes that are on a website.
Yeah.
Like kind of like a sell your closet type website.
Yeah.
Robin's buying them and her screen name is Canada Lady. What is it?
Well,
Canadian.
It's her email gives it away. It's Canada Girl at Metro News One.
Yeah. Canada Girl. Marshall and Ted go to the G-Quack's apartment to try to track down the painting. And of course, Ted is wearing his red boots. They agree that he's pulling them off, right?
Yeah, which he's not.
He's not.
I'm not saying he can't.
Yeah.
I'm saying that he didn't do anything else to his regular clothes. He's still like, you know, business schlumpy Ted.
Yeah.
But just with bright red cowboy boots. You can't just like do that. You they have to be coordinated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I could pull off red cowboy boots is what I'm saying.
Yes, I'm sure you could. They tell him that they don't have the painting anymore. They threw it away. And then we see what really happens. What, like, the painting was in a dumpster, and Larry Wilmore, who's a vet.
Dr. Greer the vet.
Dr. Greer the vet finds it, and he says, Oh, wait. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
He grabs her from the dumpster and puts it in one of the vet offices. Mm-hmm. And this super mean little chihuahua named Muffin is like so angry and mean. And then when Muffin looks at the painting, he's like calm and cool and chill. Same with Tidbit. Same with the Hirschfelder triplets.
No, it's Muffin, Tidbit, King Larry, and the Weinstein triplets.
The Weinstein triplets.
I'm trying to remember what King Larry was. He was a little terrier. So Muffin was like you said, a chihuahua. Tidbit was like a big, like
greyhound.
A hound.
Yeah.
Not a greyhound, like a...
Yeah.
Yeah, like a bloodhound type almost. King Larry, I think, was like a wire-haired terrier. And then the Weinstein triplets, and we only saw from behind, were Dalmatians.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having three Dalmatians? That would be a handful.
That's too much.
Dalmatians are, like, very energetic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, usually kind of mean.
Oh.
Well, I don't know. No dogs are mean.
No, some of them had bad upbringing.
Yeah.
At the hands of people.
I love all dogs, and we're anti-animal actors, just so you know. We enjoy seeing them, because we love
Muffin
dogs.
Yeah, Muffin was very cute, but yeah. Muffin didn't know that he was... Or the actor who played Muffin doesn't even know
they did not consent.
Yeah.
And then finally... Oh, so they end up selling a bunch of paintings to Dr. Greer, and then they start a website of more of Lily's paintings for veterinary clinics. Dogs love them. Birds hate them. Mm-hmm. Birds are flying into windows.
Yeah.
Killing themselves, which is sad.
Yeah.
And then... Finally, what happens when... Barney tells Abby, I can't marry you.
Right. Because Ted... He claims that Ted begged him not to because Ted's in love with her.
Yeah. And so, then Barney gives Abby Ted's address.
Yep. And tells him to go in the middle of the night. 2 or 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good friend.
Good friend. Great friend.
If you're at the end, I have one other stray observation that we missed.
Sure.
That I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
There's a dress that Lily is particularly reticent to let go of.
Oh, because she got a...
She got catcalled in the dress, and Robin's like, ooh, like... So, like, that's weird, given how, like, the conversation about that sort of thing has become more prominent, that she would be, like, so happy to be catcalled.
Yeah.
It's like... We're anti-catcalling, but then also it kind of played in to the, I think, pretty valid complaint that a lot of times there's a racist tinge to, like, white women complaining about being catcalled.
Yes.
And so to have a black guy go, damn, which is like kind of like a stereotypical thing for a black guy to say on the street, also felt like this is, like, dated and problematic in more than one way.
On two levels.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely. So, I mean, dated language, we haven't gotten to similarities, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then, should we move on to the funniest moments?
Yeah.
Okay. You go first.
Hey, free painting.
That's what Larry Wilmore says?
Yeah.
Well, my favorite came from the other big-name guest star, Matt Besser, when he's saying he's going to sell... When he makes money from selling tube socks, he's going to sell buy heroin. And Lily's like trying to make small talk and goes, do you like heroin? And before she even finished, he goes, love it.
Yeah. It's not a line, but just the name Tidbit for a dog is good.
I only have one more. Do you have any more?
Mm.
Because my next one... Oh, go ahead.
No, I don't.
Okay, because my next one is a transition into Make It Fashion. The hardest I laughed in the entire episode was when Barney and Abby, pretending to be, like, the dorky, happy couple, come into McLaren's in matching, like, periwinkle V-neck sweaters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a funniest moment and a Make It Fashion moment.
Okay.
So let's move on to How I Met Your Mother, Make It Fashion.
Okay, yeah, I did rate that as the matching blue sweaters. Obviously, the red boots are notable. I liked one of Lily's dresses. It was blue and white.
Okay.
A-line. I don't know how to describe it.
I don't remember that one.
Okay. It was very, like, Jackie O style.
Well, I remember at the art show, she was wearing a big bow, which seems to be, like, a real go-to for the costume designers in the show.
They love their
big bows.
Satin bows.
Yeah. My only other one, speaking of pulling things off, Neil Patrick Harris looks great in glasses. When he's being the dorky like guy, he's wearing glasses. It's a very sharp look.
Yeah.
On him.
Yeah.
He's got a face for glasses.
Yeah.
I wish I did, because I like wearing glasses.
You do.
Nah. No.
When you're not wearing them,
I don't have a face for anything.
You do. It's the cutest face I've ever seen.
No, it's horrible. I look like Charlie Brown. I look like if Charlie Brown was into microbrewing. That's what my look is.
Stop it. Don't you dare. I'm trying to find my equivalent of what I look like.
A vision straight out of heaven.
All right. You're just being mean.
No. Let's move on to what's under the umbrella. What do you got?
Well, we already talked about Barney thinking that Ted's his best friend.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, this episode brought back two storylines that were actually one storyline. Like, the whole mystery of who's Barney's vengeful ex.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and is convincing these women to slap and or throw drinks in the face of Barney. And Abby both came back and turned out to be the same person.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only other thing, I mean, we always wouldn't be us if we weren't, you know, a couple of humorless SJWs pointing out all the problematic stuff, but... A lot of stuff is really homophobic.
All the gay, No Country for Straight Men.
Yeah, but also just, like, the very one-note, like, depiction of what gay men are like, you know? And they didn't even have the decency, while embodying the stereotype, they didn't have the decency to at least be hilarious like the gay couple on Seinfeld.
Oh, the ribbon?
Who doesn't want to wear the ribbon?
Yeah.
But also the... Armoire.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time we see them, right? When they bully Kramer into giving them the armoire, and then they come back for the AIDS walk episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm completely drawing a blank on that actor's name who says who doesn't want to wear the ribbon. He's good at a lot of other things. Yeah. He shouldn't just be known for that, but shit, I used to know it, now I can't remember. Alright, that's all I had under the umbrella. You?
Nope. Yeah.
Should we move on to similarities and differences? There's a lot.
Differences. I mean, there are a lot of different. I thought we'd just do similarities.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, this was mostly supposed to be about, like, I think my initial idea of this segment would be, like, how do these two shows approach the same topic in different ways?
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
But yeah, this has turned into us just, like, pointing out weird coincidences, which is kind of more fun.
Yeah.
I've got a few.
I have a few. One of them being a coffee house scene.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And in that scene, it's not to the extent of Ross and Rachel, but Barney and, Ted and Robin are arguing. So you've got exes arguing. Still part of the same friend group and arguing in both episodes.
Also, like, being obnoxious in public spaces, making the coffee house their own. That's like every episode of both shows. Also, this is a bit of a stretch, but, like, boxing stuff up. Lily's, like, clothing Ross and Rachel's belongings.
Yeah. Abby pretends to be dating Barney to make Ted jealous, much the same way that Rachel goes out on a date with Mark to make Ross jealous.
Good call. But she doesn't realize it at the time.
Yeah. And then up in the air as to how much Abby understands about what's going on.
Yeah, but it's not as nefarious as Barney, of course. And then finally, this is kind of a funny one, but there was like the whole bit about the chairs in Joey and Chandler's apartment as like a Western showdown.
Oh!
And then when Ted like brings his like boots around, he gets like a little like...
Yeah, moseys out, yeah. This one is not, I always like qualify, like, we mostly talk about similarities between the two episodes you watch, but we can also talk about similarities with the shows in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
We find out that Pete has not one, but two life-size stormtroopers in his home. As we know from last season or season one. So does Barney. Barney has one life-size stormtrooper. Because remember when Lily is Lily is staying with Barney when Lily and Marshall are broken up, and she realizes that his like bachelor padness is a way to like keep women from wanting to hang around, and she's like, oh, like the life-size stormtrooper, and Barney's like, well, no, that's just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're both rich douchebags who love stormtroopers. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for
sorry.
It was really engaging and some good banter there.
No, yeah, you're right.
Should we play favorites?
Yeah.
All right.
3, 2, 1. How about your mother?
I love when we're on opposite pages.
Yeah. I just thought this Friends was kind of, I don't know, snooze.
Yeah?
Snoozeville. I thought there was a lot going on in the How I Met Your Mother episode. We got a lot of scenes, and the scenes were all compelling. I didn't love everything about the episode, but it kept me interested.
Yeah, I guess it's... I like you, I don't like love Lily's clothes, so that's like a hard sell for that to hang a whole episode on that.
Yeah.
I also, you know, like the entire internet these days, love Britney Spears.
Yeah.
But like acting is not
what her acting is not great.
Yeah.
But Matt Besser and Larry Wilmore were fun.
Yeah.
The dogs were fun.
And
there's
dogs. Yeah, that's a big... But I'll be honest, I think a big part of why I like the Friends episode is I like Dina Meyer and I like that storyline. Joey's storyline was great.
Yeah.
And yeah, Chandler being a good friend to Ross was pretty great. This was not a strong Phoebe episode, which is usually something I like. I like a strong Phoebe episode. But I liked this Friends episode, despite Phoebe being a minor part of it.
Yeah.
Let's see. I don't know if we have any correspondence to catch up on. To be honest, we're... Like I said, the most recent episode hasn't aired yet, and also, like...
Things have been a little chaotic.
Yeah, most of the correspondence I'm getting in terms of tweets and emails has been about our dear friend Tyler.
Yes.
And so I kind of haven't been that focused on that sort of thing. So this will be the second week in a row we kind of, like, skip the...
We're kind of only...
Catching up on our correspondence.
Halfway here, you know?
Yeah. But do let us know what color, first off, let us know what color Monica's turtleneck was.
Yeah.
And also, do you think I could pull off red cowboy boots? I think I could. Yeah? Go ahead. No? You don't think so?
I think maybe.
I think I could. Well, let's move on to my favorite segment to introduce. It's called How Were We Doing? And this is where we look at what's happening in the world, what was happening in the world on the days these episodes first aired. So, season 3, episode 19 of Friends, which is called the one with the tiny t-shirt, aired on Thursday, March 27th, 1997. Now, I've come to, like, the site that I use, I'm not going to name because I'm going to call them out, isn't always entirely accurate.
Right.
So I've come to, like, when I see something on there that's, like, interesting, I will go research and confirm.
Yeah.
So this site says that on this date, and I know you remember this, and everyone who was alive in America at this time remembers this, 39 cult members in California can commit mass suicide.
Yes.
As the Hale-Bopp comet passes by. So this website is claiming that happened on March 27th. It didn't all happen. It's part of what makes this story so creepy is that they committed suicide in waves over the course of days, and like the next wave would like prepare the bodies of the last, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last person probably committed suicide on the 26th, but I think there was a note sent to the police to check that address on the 27th. So I think March 27th is when people found out about it. But they were all already...
They all were already dying.
Had died over the past, like, 5 days.
Yeah.
Such a creepy, upsetting...
Very, very scary.
Upsetting thing, yeah. But I don't know. If you're a younger person, or maybe this wasn't a big news outside of the U.S., look up... they were called the Heaven's Gate cult, right?
They were, well, and
they didn't call themselves
with...
a cult. But,
right.
But they had nothing to do with the... Michael Cimino Western from 1980, Heaven's Gate. It's just a coincidence.
I watched a documentary recently, starting with David Koresh, and it went into the different cults and Marshall Applewhite and that whole, yeah, very chilling.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a big deal at the time.
Yeah.
Top five songs in the U.S. that day. At number five, Tony Braxton's Unbreak My Heart. At number four, Drew Hill's In My Bed. At number three, Jewel's You Were Meant For Me. I like when Jewel does the milk voice thing.
Snaggletooth Songstress?
That's what the AV Club called her. Yeah. Snaggletooth Songstress Jewel. at number two, The Spice Girls' Wannabe. And at number one, Puff Daddy's Can't Nobody Hold Me Down. Season 3, episode 19 of How I Met Your Mother, which, as we've learned, is called Everything Must Go, aired on Monday, May 12th, 2008. This was International Nurses Day, according to this thing. A couple of nurses in my family, so that's fun. And then, a whole bunch of bad shit happened. Like, earthquakes and tornadoes and terrorist attacks. It's just, like, a bad time. Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez nationalizes steel firm Ternium Sidor, which is mainly owned by Argentina's Techint? I don't know. Remember when Hugo Chavez was, like, a hero of the left?
Yes.
I don't know how that turned out. Top five songs in the U.S. that day. Number five, Ray J's Sexy Can I, which I think, do we even bother looking that up?
No.
Came up last week, too. I don't know. Number four, Usher's Love in This Club. Number three, Jordan Sparks' No Air. Number two, Lil Wayne's Lollipop. And at number one, Leona Lewis's Keep Bleeding Love. All right. That's what was going on in the world. Now it's time for our final segment, which is called Challenge Accepted. This is where we try to guess what's going to happen next week on both shows, armed only with knowledge of the episode title. I'm going to look up those titles while Natalie vamps.
Oh, cedar-wrapped barbecue salmon, dill pickle mini falafel, oat fudge bar, red shrimp with ginger garlic butter, tangerine cream bars.
Okay, first, normally I had you vamp too early. Normally we look at how we did on this week's predictions first. And this is very exciting. Natalie.
Okay.
Because I said Rachel wears a tiny t-shirt on a date to arouse the green monster in Ross, but it turns out to be an actual child t-shirt, and maybe that child is Ben, probably not, but I'm going with it. That was not true, although I did get the idea that Rachel trying to make Ross jealous. Mm-hmm. I did get that, but it doesn't give me a point.
And I would assume that it was Ross as a child's t-shirt.
Which it was.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Yeah, so it kind of was a child's t-shirt.
But it still doesn't fit the spirit of what I said.
Okay.
You said Marshall and Lily throw together a quick estate sale to raise some cheddar for their stinky new apartment. Yeah. You got it. Which means we're tied. We might even, we're at near the end of the season. We might stay tied the rest of the season.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll see how that happens.
Yeah.
Okay. So, season 3, episode 20 of Friends is called The One with the Dollhouse. The one with the dollhouse. I'm going to say Phoebe has a haunted dollhouse. And Joey gets shrunk down and trapped inside.
Oh my god.
But he wears a, like, tiny...
Did you write like?
No, he wears a tiny little sleeping gown and floppy nightcap. And
this is just a joke makes to you.
Friends with a mouse. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm really trying to pull ahead. I don't want, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're tied right now. It would be bad for me if we were ended, because I've got, like, way more episodes than you have left.
Right.
Bad for, you know, bad for me if we ended tied. I've got a lot of chances now to make up and win this season.
Yeah.
So I'm really going to, like, give it my all with these guesses. So, yeah. Phoebe has a haunted dollhouse, and Joey gets shrunk down and trapped inside, but he wears a tiny little sleeping gown and floppy nightcap and makes friends with a mouse. That's what I think happens.
Okay.
In that, How I Met Your Mother Season 3, Episode 20, which is the finale of Season 3, by the way. Only a mere 20 episodes in this season.
Okay.
Is called Miracles.
Okay. And it's the season finale.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think there'll be a series of miracles.
Okay.
One being... Is Barney gonna find his way back into friendship with
Ted? Are you asking me?
Ted? No, I'm thinking out loud.
Okay.
So it's a miracle that Ted and Barney are friends again.
Okay.
I know that it's wrong, by the way, you...
See, it takes a miracle to reunite Barney and Ted. I mean, it'd have to at this point.
And we're going to, yes, we're also going to see the repercussions of Abby having Ted's address.
Also, Abby will wreak some havoc. Right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, we did it. We talked about season 3, episode 19 of both shows. You can find this podcast where you found it, but you can also find posts for every episode at battleshippretension.com. You can email us at the one where I met your mother at gmail.com. That's very helpful. Or you can... Hold on.
What was that?
I don't know. It was a bug of some sort.
Davey just murdered a bug in real time.
Okay, you heard it. You heard it here. Email us at the one where I met your mother, gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter and tweet at me on Twitter at Davey Pretension. Now that I feel it's so embarrassed, I forgot, but where do you want people to find you on the internet?
As a reminder, I don't. But if you like this episode, you should like and subscribe, tell your friends, tell your mothers, rate, review, give us 5 stars
if
you can. Let us know what color Monica's sweater is and anything else.
Whether or not you think I could pull off red cowboy boots.
Yeah. Does David look like Charlie Brown?
With a beard?
With a beard.
Yeah.
And until next time, see you in... Mississippi.
I should have seen it coming.